Welcome to The Unraveler, a weekly commentary devoted to explaining the Torah, Haftarah, and other aspects of Jewish history, ideas, and thought. This podcast is made by the FJMC, the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs. The material of these Unraveler podcasts provide a historical and somewhat different approach to help you, the listener, better understand Jewish life and thought. This week's Haftarah commentary is read by Michael Freilich of the Seaboard region of the FJMC, whose Judaic knowledge has been shared with men throughout North America. We hope you enjoy it and find it intellectually challenging. The opinions expressed in The Unraveler are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the opinions or policy of the FJMC.
Shalom, all you all. As many of you already know, I'm neither a scholar nor rabbi. I am what they refer to in Hebrew as a Yehudi Pashut Meharei Baltimore. I am but a simple Jew from the hills of Baltimore. The Parsha Pikudei, which is our topic for today, is the last portion in the Book of Shemot. The Book of Shemot contains an excess of 504 verses related to the details of the building of the Mishkan in the wilderness. Why was it so important to our ancestors to describe in intimate detail the building of Mishkan? Perhaps, if we take the view that the Torah was compiled during the exile from Jerusalem in 586 before the Common Era, and was returned until the rule of Cyrus the Great, sometimes referred to as Cyrus II, in approximately 540 BCE, one answer may be it was important to remember the details of the glory of Solomon's temple, whether it was the actual glory or the perceived glory or the glory we wanted our people to know is a different question. The Haftarah for Pikudei is from the first book of Kings, chapter 7, verses 51 through chapter 8, verse 21. This Haftarah describes in detail the completion of the first temple by King Solomon. The author relays that Solomon gathered the leaders and elders of the various tribes to Jerusalem with tremendous fanfare. The text describes that the vessels from the Mishkan, including the Ark, were carried from a temporary location to its current location in Jerusalem in the temple within the chamber known as the Holy of Holies. Upon placing the Ark within the new temple, God's presence was immediately felt. It was felt in the form of a smoky cloud, similar cloud as was related when the Mishkan was completed in the wilderness. But why a cloud in both occasions? Was God's presence indicated by a cloud? The text relates King Solomon blessed God. Solomon recalls the history of the sanctuary. He recalls how his father David wanted to build the temple, but David was told by God that his son would build the temple. Solomon's blessing ends with the words, "I have set there a place for the ark, which is the covenant of the people which you made with our forefathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt," end quote. One obvious contrast with the Mishkan is that the Mishkan was a traveled in the wilderness for 4.5 centuries, but the temple will be a permanent dwelling for God, a place in which God would dwell forever. This is a stark contrast, temporary versus permanent. The text continues with the dedication ceremony, which was set for the holiday of Sukkot. The text provides, quote, "Every man in Israel," end quote, was there for this momentous occasion. Priests carried the ark to the temple, period. Other priests and Levites accompanied them, carrying other vessels that were in the Mishkan. It's interesting to note, but some of the artifacts were stored in the attic above the Holy of Holies. Along the route that was followed by the people and the priests and the Levites, there was celebration and thanksgiving. Another verse in the narrative provides that when the ark was installed in its place, the staves, that is, those long sticks which were used to carry the ark, were extended to their full amount, and it stretched almost from wall to wall of the Holy of Holies. The text continues, "And they are there unto this day." How do we explain the phrase, "until this day"? The simple meaning is that they will be there forever. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, who is mentioned in the Talmud, is attributed with saying, "going away with many of the other sacred vessels, but not the ark. when the Babylonians destroyed the first temple. The ark was hidden in what the temple is now known in its original place in the Holy of Holies. Maimonides, in his Laws of the Temple, relates that when Solomon filled the temple, he was aware it would ultimately be destroyed. Therefore, he built a chamber in which the ark would be entombed below the temple building itself. Indeed, he built a maze-like vault and put the ark in it. King Josiah commanded the ark was to be entombed in the chamber built by Solomon. Solomon apparently built a vault and maze beneath the Temple Mount at the time he built the first temple. That many of the sacred articles did not return for the building of the second temple, but these were articles which were stored above the original Holy of Holies. One commentator explained that the nature and function of the ark itself is responsible for these different opinions. The ark was not just a vessel that exists in a temple when it was made, but a place to be for God. In the Torah, we learn that God told Moses he would construct the Mishkan as a place where he would, quote, set his meetings, close quote, with Moses at the ark. In other words, without the ark, the entire Mishkan would be imperfect. It would be missing the part which would make it a place for God as it was intended to be. So when it came to building the second temple, the location of the ark was very important. How can the temple be built without the ark? If it is assumed the ark is entombed underneath the first temple, how would this work for the building of the second temple, when, after all, it was not present in the Holy of Holies, but was entombed underneath it? Maimonides resolves this issue by claiming the ark was not only hidden in the temple, but without the underground chamber, but was born in the temple plan, was originally built by Solomon. Another way to look at this is that Maimonides understands it. Solomon built the second temple with two places for the ark, one above ground, which would be in times of peace, and another below ground in times of danger. By building an underground chamber and vaults and a maze, Solomon ensured the continuity of the presence in the temple structure, even though it was hidden from sight for centuries. So that even though the temple was destroyed, it was never completely destroyed, both the first and second temples, when up and going, show the important essence of the temple. The place of the ark remained intact. The implication is the building of the third temple will be the affirmation the temple never disappeared, it was only waiting to be rebuilt. Thank you for your attention.
We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. The FJMC mission is to involve Jewish men in Jewish life. You can find more information about the organization at the FJMC's website at www.fjmc.org. Music for this podcast is Climb by Shane Ivers and is available at www.silvermansound.com.